He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
It's also such bullshit. Like, it's such a weak thing to do where, like, you're talking trash on the guy as he's leaving LA. You've had the entire time that he's been in LA to say something to him, and you haven't said anything. And then he's finally gone. It's like, yeah, and take that smack
and stay out.
Yeah. Like, you dweeb. Like, oh man. Now let's talk about like what we think should come next. I'll just give a quick refresher from what I'm told again, that the Lakers are going to like basically open up a window of data gathering now that they have Dorian Finney-Smith, and they're going to kind of gauge what this team looks like now that they have like
how many
a Vanderbilt
until we can judge this team.
That's the thing, is that like, I'm curious if they're going to say like, if they're still going to do the Vando thing, you know, because
that's the other aspect of this trade. We got to talk about this. Like, how monstrous is that front court going to be when you have Vando and Dorian Finney-Smith guarding guys?
But like,
I almost tweeted that yesterday, and I'm like, it's too mean. Like, I don't, there's going to be some people that take it earnestly, and then some people are going to realize I'm doing a bit. And it's like, yeah, I hope Vando comes back, but I'm not like optimistic about that.
I don't sense a ton of optimism there either, but you know what? We'll see. But essentially though, like a few of the conversations that I had landed in DFS Dodo. Are we calling him DFS or Dodo?
I have been going with DFS, but I just usually go to acronyms.
I think I'll tweet DFS, and it's easier to say Dodo.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dodo is what other players call him.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably doesn't want non-players calling him Dodo.
Or like, I mean, I don't know, like maybe the DFS thing is he's trying to avoid like being called like Daily Fantasy Sports. Like he's
that's
avoiding
what I keep
like
saying every time, you know, I see it.
Like, yeah, he wants to avoid a Jontay Porter situation, you know, with his name.
He's like, because I tweeted out, or I was getting ready to say
something. He's going
like,
to get an endorsement ad. He's going to be like, my name's Dorian Finney-Smith, and I know a little bit about DFS. So that's why I use Underdog.
I was all my NFL bets,
to be clear, just NFL.
I was getting ready to like tweet JJ is a big DFS fan, but I was like, oop, that probably doesn't look very good.
Nope. Yeah, you gotta reframe.
Gotta say Dodo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I essentially, it sounds like Dorian is going to be kind of the Vando replacement for the time being. And then if Vando is ever able to get healthy, then cool, there's your cherry on the top or whatever. If that is the case, or as that is the case, it makes me think they probably need another wing. You know, like you can't have one defensive wing, because if he gets into foul trouble, what's that?
Who doesn't? I mean, every team does.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
I do like though that the Lakers finally made a trade where they sent out a guard and got back a wing. That makes me happy. Finally,
I mean,
I don't think
that's always an easy trade to make, because wings are the more coveted archetype. But yeah. I do think it is like, it's a good step in the right direction, away from the, you know, 10 combo guards Austin at center era.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice that I don't think we have to worry about like the so many like three guard lineups as much.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I don't know that they're even possible at this point.
I'm happy. Look, we got there. We got there. Harrison, we made it.
That Joe Austin, Joe, that Austin Gabe Vincent Bronny backcourt. It. It's going to be incredible.
But yeah, what do you think? like after this little window where they're going to kind of see what this team looks like, what do you think comes next? What need do you think is at the top of their priority list?
You know, I know a lot of people are going to say the backup big, but for me, it's not that, because I think that, you know, again, like when it matters in the playoffs, AD is going to be playing center. And while it would be nice to sort of have that bruiser, it's just like the guys available that are on the market to me don't scream like, oh man, that's a guy I'd be really comfortable throwing on Jokic while AD roams and helps and whatever. And I guess, again, it's like the Rui thing. Like the bar is not be the best at guarding Jokic. It's like be better at guarding Jokic than DFS is or something, or Rui is.
Yeah.
And so maybe that is a helpful guy. They're just like, it just feels like a misallocation of resources to me to use a first round pick, unless it's Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler feels like the guy that's available where it's like he's young enough to be worth sort of investing a first round pick.
Yeah.
He can theoretically play with AD a little bit more than some of the other names on the market. But like for me, Jonas doesn't move the needle. Sorry to go back to your favorite, your least favorite cliche. I apologize.
No, we made it 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
I'm not a big fan of adding Vooch. Like, I don't think that he really helps solve very many of the Lakers' problems.
You almost did it again.
I definitely avoided it.
But like, so before they drafted Connect, they went into last draft looking to draft a center with in the first round. And then, you know, Connect fell to them. And trading a first for Kessler, I think at this point would be essentially like, you know, or even moving two first, right? That would be like
two feels deep for him.
Yeah.
I think this market where you're getting Dorian Finney-Smith for 3 seconds, I think two for Walker Kessler. Again, I know, like, you know, in the end, like the basketball players have to go out and play basketball. So like, it doesn't, if something costs you more than it quote unquote should, and it works out well for the team, then that's still a win. But I think that you should see if you should wait and see if you can get him for one.
I think they will. If they keep going down that line. The one thing that I'll say about Walker, and I said it on yesterday's show, and I'll continue to repeat it because I don't see enough people making this point, and I've talked to some people around the league about this. The complicating factor that the Lakers have with negotiating for Kessler, with Utah in particular, is that Utah has Lakers draft capital that extends into the future. And by sending Walker Kessler to the Lakers, a young center who is going to continue to get better, who's already good and is going to continue to get better. The concern from Utah's standpoint is like, we may have just made our future draft capital worse or less valuable.
Do they think Walker Kessler is changing the Lakers 2020? Which pick is it that they have again? Is it 2027? No, 2027, the Lakers. It's 2028, I think.
Yeah, whatever it would be. But it's like a Walker Kessler Anthony Davis front court would be like, it sets a pretty high baseline for how good how bad the Lakers could
They have a 2027 protected pick, so I guess that's not that far out.
Mm-hmm. And that's
but if they think Walker Kessler is going to affect the fortunes of that pick all that much, then they shouldn't be trading him.
Why do you think he isn't, like, he comes with the price tag of two first round picks?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
You know, like that's at least my reading.
Seems like negotiating 101 though, more than, you know, like an actual concern. That's like, oh no, you got to give us two first because you might mess up that other first that we have from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, like this is all public negotiation, right? Like that's what, you know, like if somebody closer to that side of the negotiation is going to like talk about the trade, they're going to frame it in a way that, you know, puts more pressure on the other side to make the offer better. But I think that's a factor. I don't know if it's the factor, but like in 2027, Anthony Davis will be what, 33, and Walker Kessler will be like entering that like early prime that he would be. And that front court like is going to be really good still. And, you know, you'll still have Austin will be like 28, 29. He'll be in his prime. Dodo.
Yeah, I guess that's like their worry there is like, did we create a team that's too good for them to convey the pick, you know, which then converts to 2 seconds if it doesn't convey.
Right. And that's essentially like, you know, a factor here that I think is worth keeping in mind. So, Omar, so LeBron will be 45 and still probably a top 25 player. But yeah, I am kind of curious. Trevon James makes an interesting point here. Should have gotten Sharp instead of Melton. I don't think Rob can help himself. He has to acquire a combo guard in any and all trades if he possibly can.
Well, I was Shake Milton's career high actually came in Los Angeles. And I was like, man, Rob is never beating the only one is the Lakers allegations. But then it was against the Clippers. So, you know, he may not have league pass, but he was able to watch that game locally and was like, this is the guy who can help us.
Yeah. Anything else beyond the bigs thing? What do you think of the notion of like replacing the guard creation? Is that a priority to you?
It's just of the guys that are on the market, none of them are like that exciting to me, where it's like a combo of like, this fits with like Gabe's salary and then also is worth the first round pick or two first round picks. Like that is sort of, I guess, like the one or the major downside of this move is you don't have as much salary to cobble together for that next. I guess at this point you're saying, you know, maybe does Rui become that extra sort of salary now to make more impact players because he's more, well, they're not, there's no team to say, then you're giving up two first round picks. If you're trading Gabe Vincent and Vando for someone, you know, at that point, it's two firsts. And so, like, at least with Rui, they can sort of talk themselves into, can he be a part of our future? Can we rehab his value and flip him if we're a tanking team? Does he help, you know, our guys develop just by being like a capable vet? That kind of thing. Like, but I think he is more expendable now with this move because, you know, there's just less minutes for that sort of like 4-5 type guy. Like, you got a guy that does the things that you've been asking Rui to do out of position better than Rui does.
I see a lot of people asking about Bruce Brown. The problem that you run into with Bruce Brown is that he makes like just enough money to be an issue.
Yeah.
Right? Where he's making this year, where is it?
It's like 20, right? 24 or something.
Where is he? Oh no, he's not in Indiana anymore. He's like 23. And that really complicates stuff for the Lakers, right? Like, do you want to send out Rui for Bruce Brown? You know, do you want to send out Max for Bruce Brown?
If Bruce Brown could play, I think I would make that swap. Like, if you know for a fact he's healthy and he's going to be able to finish out the season and he's just like resting because there's no point in him playing for the tanking Raptors.
So he does make $23 million. Now the Lakers do have a little bit more leeway here. Although I do believe since they're above the first apron, they can't take back more money in trades. So that complicates stuff. But the Lakers, like if you would send out Rui and Gabe for Brown, let's see what that looks like. It says it's successful on SpoTrack. The Lakers would cut $5 million. Genie's on board.
There we go. Look at this.
Would you do?
You get smaller, so Rob can get excited.
Yeah. Would you do Rui and Gabe?
I mean, you get Brown? Literally smaller. I think Bruce probably plays bigger in some ways.
I wonder what you would get. All right. So yeah, Pirtle makes 19 and a half makes mil.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Why?
Because they traded a first round pick for him, so they couldn't lose him for nothing. So they had to pay him this crazy money.
What are you doing, Masai? That's so much money for freaking.
That's so much money for Jakob Poeltl.
That is so much. I'm looking. Kelly Olynyk makes 12, makes him like basically almost 13. So
then I think the Lakers are having to send more salary if they're going to do that.
Yeah, so then it would be like you could send Jalen and you can
Raptors get a young prospect in the deal. I already know what the Shams tweet is going to say. It's like Raptors get like a young guard prospect that they've been eyeing since his draft, and we'll see if he can play his way into their future plan.
I guess if you go Rui, Gabe, Jalen, and Wood for Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk, I wonder what people would think about that one.
That's interesting. I do think that makes the Lakers better.
I think so too. Well, especially like you're sending out two players that you're not using. Three, yeah. Really. No, two. I don't know if that's worth two first to me, though. What's that?
I don't know if that's worth two first to me, though.
No. Why would you? No.
Yeah.
No.
That's worth one first, I think.
I'm not sure it would be worth a first. Like, you could send out a first, but I would expect a couple seconds coming back.
Well, you have to send out a first in that case, because otherwise, why is Toronto doing it?
Yeah, but I would say like Toronto has to send back a second.
Yeah.
You know? All right, we just fixed the Lakers. Look at us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we just did Rob's job. Rob, you can go to Disneyland. We all
stay at Disneyland. No, he's been there ever since he made the trade.
Yeah.
They could send the 2 seconds. I think they only have, well, let's see. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the super comments before we get out of here. Let's dive into the
Lakers salary cap situation live on air. Who wants to hear us read which draft picks they might have?
All right.
They actually super do not comments. Have any tradable seconds left.
I thought they had one.
I don't think they do. It does on at least on Salary Swish, it does not look like they do, at least none of their own.
I've never heard of Salary Swish. All right. Let's dive into the super comments. Rye Guy kicks it off with Obi Toppin, Nick Richards, and Dennis Smith Jr. Do they have enough to get all of them? Well, probably, but you'd have to overpay because of the second round pick situation. You'd have to create a roster spot to get Dennis Smith Jr. So I don't know. What do you think? Like, how do you feel about Nick Richards? Have you ever thought about Nick Richards before in your life?
No. You know, he could be a made up player as far as I'm concerned.
I think he'd be okay. He'd be pretty similar to having Jackson Hayes on your team.
He's a guy that people started talking about from, like, he's on the Hornets, I believe, right? Yeah. I was like, you're making this person up. Like, this is just like a center that you made up in your head. That, you know, you're just like, oh, this is a smart, you know, draft target. Like, are we sure he exists?
Can I interest you in Reed Richards? How about that?
Yeah, that would solve a lot of the Lakers' length problems. You know, versatile, switchy defender.
Overthink some stuff though. Sometimes a little mental.
High basketball IQ though.
Yeah, but like almost too high.
I think all of his shots go in because he can just, his signature move is just the Michael Jordan from Space Jam dunk.
It's the Wemby. Did you see that clip? It's the,
yeah, yeah. The Go-Go Gadget, Go-Go Gadget, my arms.
Yeah. J1, people remember DFS as the mobile defender in Dallas. Yeah, I mean, it was a couple years ago. So that's a part of it. But I think a big part of it from my perspective or the math that I'm doing is that he's a more mobile defender than like Rui, or he's a more mobile defender than like Dalton or the other guys.
He's not who've been playing that stuff as he used to be, but he's better than anyone on the Lakers at it still.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also don't think like it has been that big of a focus point in Brooklyn to where, like, you know, it's a situation where nobody really cares about winning there except for the coach. And
no, the players do. The players have bought it. The player until recently, when they started, you know, just being selling off all their teammates for parts, the players were pretty bought in to start the season.
Yeah. Dennis
was galvanizing leader. And then has apparently destroyed the Warriors. So I don't.
Rye Guy says Shams makes it sound like Kessler is on the way. I don't know. They got close to landing Kessler over the summer, I was told, but Utah, anytime you talk to anybody close to Utah, like they really push back on how close that ever got. So
the fact that Kessler all, seems to only play against the Lakers has been sort of fairly telling.
It's just Danny dangling.
He'll be out and they're like, he's like, yeah, no, he's ready to go tonight.
Yeah. Landon Archuleta, you guys, are you going to do any playbacks or pressure cookers? Yeah, I think coming up after the holidays, as the games start to mean a little bit more and have more eyeballs on them, I'll probably do a few more stuff like that, things like that. I haven't gone on anybody's playback so far this year. It's actually been kind of nice to just kind of watch the games and be able to talk about them a little bit more more coherently after the games, rather than feeling like I have to like entertain during them. But I think eventually we'll get back to doing stuff like that. We have some cool stuff lined up after the new year that I can't really talk about specifically, but I think you guys will be pretty excited about. George Arias says, how would you evaluate
question?
Yeah, how would you evaluate D'Lo's career as a whole, all things considered? Harrison, I'll let you take this one because I answered the last couple.
That is a really interesting question that I've not thought enough about. Like, you know, what a weird arc to go from number two pick, franchise savior. He's going to learn under Kobe, you know, but in Kobe's farewell tour, to then like shipped out because it's like, well, we actually hate that guy and we needed a real point guard. And then he comes back, helps the team make the Western Conference Finals, but then is part of one of the more disappointing years in recent memory. Not the most disappointing. That was obviously the first Russ year, but just like, honestly, like I think it's really his career arc with the Lakers is really on brand for D'Lo, in that like 50% of it was really fun and 50% of it was some of the worst basketball you've ever seen. You know?
I'm going to get so many comments about like so many email comments like about that, because every time somebody puts a comment in the on these videos after they are done streaming live, I get an email about that. And that one in particular is going to piss people off. And I completely agree with it. Like it's just like,
it's the perfectly D'Lo arc.
D'Lo, like
he was both good. He's Schrodinger's basketball player. He's both good and bad at the same time.
Yeah, like he can't help, but it's also loud good and loud bad all time.
That's what I mean. Right? Like, I think that, honestly, I don't think the Nets understand what they just traded for. They just traded for D'Angelo Russell with the lowest stakes possible. Like, he's going to mess up their tank. He's going to be so good.
Yeah. I think, oh man, how am I going to remember D'Lo? I actually enjoyed early on D'Lo.
Me too.
I thought he got kind of a raw deal because of the Nick Young situation.
You and I were really defenders, I think, in the media at that point.
He really butted heads with local media at that time. And I think that's how a lot of this is framed, that first stint. And then, you know, Magic's friendship with Byron, I think, played a big role in Magic shipping him. I think Magic actually admitted to that a little bit after the fact, that, like, you know, he was kind of done with D'Lo because of the stuff that Byron was telling him. And
I mean, it's not like hard. They work out together like regularly still. So
yeah,
even if Magic didn't say it, it's not hard to guess.
I'm pretty sure he's on the record saying something along those lines. And then,
He's like, well, we also couldn't draft Jason Tatum. I just want to put that out there, 'cause we had Kyle Kuzma, Larry Nance Jr. And, who was the other one that they had at
four? Randall. Julius Randle.
Yeah, they had Randle, who they let go at the end of the next year, and then Larry Nance Jr., who they traded at midseason, and Kuz, who just like played anyway. But they couldn't draft Jason Tatum. They just want you to know that.
And they couldn't. You know, they drafted another guard, which forced them to trade the other guard. Like, does Magic?
You can only have one good player at each position. Famously, that was shocking. How Showtime worked. Was the whole bench sucked? You know, famously,
actually, kind of did.
They had some guys that could contribute. They were good.
Hoop was fine. Kurt was fine, but like teams were pretty shallow back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, how am I going to remember D'Lo? I think because I was also really bummed that they shipped out D'Lo before we got to see him and Lonzo together. Because
Yeah.
I actually really believe in that backcourt.
It's going to be funny if they trade for Lonzo at the deadline and they just miss playing together again.
Like, yeah.
Ships in the night.
Yeah. Who would you rather trade for, Brown or Lonzo? They've played roughly the same.
I mean,
same
in my heart, it's Lonzo, but I just, you know, like, I don't know. I'd be too concerned about, like, all the injury stuff over the last couple of years, you know?
What? I wonder what the Lonzo's contract is, because I think it's roughly similar to...
In my heart, it's 100% Lonzo. Like, it would be so much fun to just, like, have him come home and have, like, a meaningful playoff run with the team. Like, you know, remember how invested we all were in his development? Like, it would be such a cool story. But I think my head says Brown.
Lonzo is making 21.4 mil, just shade under 21.4.
Yeah.
Brown makes 23, as we just talked about. So negligible difference there. Though I guess every million counts in the CBA.
Yeah, you might have to attach Christian Wood. That's like the difference, you know?
Wouldn't have to. I think people are a little too high on Brown, to be honest. He has barely played the last couple of years. Like he made his debut the other day.
A lot of that's been like tanking stuff. And they're like, well, like, why? We're not going to force you to go out there when we're not playing for anything.
Right. But he also wasn't great in Indiana when he got away from Jokic. Now, like, if the theory is that
good,
like,
for the first half of that, he was pretty good until they traded him. They made it to the in-season tournament final.
But it wasn't Ben Mathurin, I think, played a bigger role in that. And, he wasn't as good as he was in Denver, especially not as good
well,
as he was.
No one's as good as they were are playing with it. Like, no one's as good leaving Jokic as they are playing with him.
Yeah. But he's paid to be away from Jokic. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So okay. Like that. I think it's Brown.
He's the kind of guy that I think he would play really well off of LeBron too.
I think so too. That's probably true. And off of Austin, right? Like,
yeah.
Giving that tertiary creator.
He's just like a high IQ, like knows where to be guy. And not that Lonzo isn't. Lonzo's smart about that stuff as well. But I think Bruce Brown is the type of player. Like, he's one of those guys. He's a force multiplier. He gets better around better players.
Yeah.
He's and not that valuable if you don't have. Players. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not that valuable around if your team is like a bunch of tanking like Raptors prospects. But if your team is a bunch of guys that sort of want to play a specific way and are competing for something, I think he's more valuable.
I think. See, now this is where I am inherently kind of like I'm inherently contradictory. I think it's Brown, but I think it's closer than people on here are talking about.
You just are a contrarian.
I think so. That might be it.
We've just don't want to agree with people on Bruce Brown I think I got to go Lonzo. It's the more interesting answer.
No, I do. I do really. I'm a proponent of going out and getting Brown. Just $23 million makes it difficult.
Yeah.
I don't love trading two rotation players for a role player and giving up a first, right? Like,
yeah,
don't love that. But you wouldn't have to give up a first for Lonzo.
No, I would not think so. Maybe that is the argument for Lonzo is you could get him for a couple seconds. The Lakers actually, they do have their own 2025 second this year and a Clippers one. So maybe that's enough for Chicago in this market.
I wonder if Chicago would take on Vanderbilt's contract.
No, why would they?
Well, just cause like they're going to be bad anyway. Like, this is the part that drives me crazy
That's not their goal. Their goal is they want to be as good as possible. Like, they're going to want, like, they would want Rui back because they're like, well, this guy will play a lot of games.
Yeah. 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 It's hard to like gauge what Chicago would or wouldn't do because they're so
stupid. You just
have
to guess. It's like, what would the dumbest person that you can think of do? And then it's like, that's probably.
I like how we both arrived at the exact same point.
Yeah.
And both made it as mean as we possibly could. And there were two versions of the same point.
Yeah.
If I knew that I was getting a healthy, all right, how about this? Healthy Brown, healthy Lonzo, who would you rather have? Know that they're going to be healthy.
Lonzo.
Lonzo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I just can't. I like, there's much less chance that, or much lower chance that, that Lonzo will be healthy than there is at Brown being healthy. Even though, again, those guys have played roughly the same amount of games over the last couple of years. Yeah. Maybe, nah, I think Brown's probably played quite a few more.
Brown's definitely played more. Over the last couple of years, Brown's definitely played more.
Yeah. This season, I think Lonzo has played more. This
season, it's probably, Lonzo's probably played more.
Yeah. We actually got two more questions. So Theo, although I think they're about the same person. Yeah, they are. So Theo, the first one says, if you watch De'Aaron Sharpe, you'd understand why he's never a target. 6 points, five rebounds on 40% shooting as only a 6'9 center, giving half of a block on, you know, bad rim deterrent numbers. And then he continues, Richards gives you 9 and 8 with 1.2 blocks as a 245-pound bruiser, 7-footer on a cheap contract, Dollar General Kessler. Come on now, guys.
You know what, Theo, I'll give it to you. I'm just going to be real honest. I've not watched the Hornets really hardly at all in like the last like 2 years. It's just they've not been high on my list. You know,
same goes for De'Aaron Sharpe. I'm going to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I watched some Nets basketball because I have watched, like, they have been fun to watch this year.
You do a national NBA podcast, you know?
Well,
so you're actually bad at your job if you don't watch the Nets and know that. I'm just
around. You're a Hoop purist.
Yeah. I just watch wherever the call of the ball takes me, you know.
They can't keep you away from this game.
I prefer to watch good teams on my leisure time than watching like the Hornets, you know.
The Hornets are sorry.
Oh, that actually, you know, you should clip just that part and like see if you can get aggregated by like awful announcing or something and be like, SB Nation NBA leader admits he doesn't ever watch the Hornets.
Your Hornets blog, the Hornets blog would be like, we've been emailing him for a whole year.
We don't have a Hornets blog, but
all right, that is going to do it here. As we cross the hour threshold for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast, fun show here. Plan probably isn't to do a show tomorrow during Christmas Eve because I will be hosting.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. We went back in time. Hey, today feels like Christmas morning and has felt like Christmas morning since the Lakers traded for a wing. That's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Quickly do you think people are going to get mad that he doesn't make every single three?
If he misses one in like warmups, there's going to be like, oh, are we sure about this, guys?
No. I think it's going to take like five games. But if he shoots like 32% his first like five games, people are going to be like, damn, they really missed D'Lo. That was a bad move. This guy's washed.
No, what's really going to hurt is that D'Lo is going to look incredible playing for no stakes whatsoever.
And that's what I'm saying. No stakes. D'Angelo Russell is like maybe going to make a late all-star push in the East.
There's a bunch of hipsters in Brooklyn. I could see them voting for D'Lo.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great one, everybody. Please, as I say before all these holidays, please be safe out there. If you're going to do any drinking, hop in an Uber, hop in a Lyft, assign a DD, sign up to be the DD, all of those good things. Please be safe on this big kind of night of the year or the first night of the year. And then we will be back on New Year's Day to talk about the New Year's Eve game. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Hit that subscribe button, like button, share button. Tell your friends, enemies, all that good stuff. Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye, everyone.